are going to wrap up our series today. We have been in this series for the last several weeks, winning the war in your mind. And I have enjoyed very much teaching this series and just working my way through these truths that have been helpful to me personally, and I believe they've been helpful to you. I do appreciate the feedback and hearing from many who have found this word helpful. And really, it's helpful because no one escapes this battle. No one is getting around this skirmish or this war. All of us feel it, and we need to be fighting in it. So we're wrapping up today 4 or 5 weeks, and if this happens to be your first Sunday here and you're saying, I don't know quite what you're talking about, you can always go to the Church Covington YouTube page. You can get caught up there over the last few weeks. And while each message is a concept that stands alone, certainly the entire series will build and bless your life. But probably my favorite so far has been the teaching about reframing, the concept about reframing. I have caught myself doing that so many times. I could look at this situation this way, but I have the opportunity to reframe that and see it in a more positive light. And it really, really is life-changing when you apply the word. But series is based on a book by Pastor Craig Groeschel. It's really a best-selling book at this point, but there's so much more in the book that we're not even able to get to in the series. I'm just hitting the highlights and trying to give you some of the primary concepts. Again, this coming Thursday, Miss Amy Poole is leading Winning the War in Your Mind workshop, and she can unpack some of these things just a little further, and I know that will bless you as well. But let me tell you again, as I have each week, why this matters. It matters because most of life's battles are won or lost in our minds. That's where the majority of the battles and the troubles and the difficulties that we face in life, those things are won and lost in your mind. We know it's a war. We know it is a battle. We know it is a struggle. We know it is a difficulty, and it's not just going to go away. You know, sometimes you can have a pain in your body. You can just feel some kind of way, and you know, a lot of times, well, if I just sit here long enough, it'll go away. If I just leave that alone, it'll just resolve itself. It'll just fix itself. And many times, thankfully, it does. And then there's those other situations that require doctor visit or medication or whatever. But this is one of those things that's just not going to go away, because the enemy is literally building strongholds. He is actively working to try to get us to think a certain way that ultimately defeats us spiritually and causes us to struggle in our horizontal relationships and to struggle getting along with one another. The enemy loves to wreak that kind of havoc in our lives and keep us from being all that God has called us to be. But I'm thankful that there is hope. I'm thankful that I've heard hope. I understand it's a battle. I understand that it's war, and war is not pleasant, but there absolutely is hope. And we've learned that God's word is powerful, powerful to transform and renew our minds. And I'm thankful to learn that even though there have been years of damage, years of wrong thoughts, I literally can be healed and my mind can be transformed through the word of God. Here's another truth that we've been teaching throughout this series. Our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. So whatever you think about the most, whatever you dwell on the most, that's the direction that your life is moving in. I hope that has stuck in this series. I hope that is something that has been on your mind, to be aware of what you are thinking about, because the life that you and I have is a reflection of the thoughts that we think. And remember, we taught you cannot have a positive life with a negative mind. It's impossible. It's impossible to have good things happen when I'm always dwelling on the negative. And really, that's the entire reality of the message. And if we haven't gotten that, then we've missed something. And I would encourage you to go back and watch and rehearse the word and dig in and get your Bible out and highlight and mark and just try to process this so that the word has the opportunity to renew your mind. What is it that you are thinking about the most? If I can fix that, then I can fix my future. For people in this room that are thinking, oh no, the tomorrows of my life, the next weeks or the next months of my life or the next years of my life, they don't look good. There's no positive forecast. I've got this problem and that problem, and it's not going to be resolved any time soon. If I can fix my thoughts, I can fix my future. So are we ready for this war? Are we ready? Are we ready to fight this battle? I understand you're tired today. I understand that you are frustrated in your mind. But knowing this is a battle is half the battle. It really is. We're not ignorant of Satan's schemes. We're not ignorant of his devices. We are well aware of what he is up to. And maybe you didn't realize it before a few weeks ago. Maybe you weren't keen to it or aware of it. But the Lord has given you the opportunity to spy in on the enemy's plan and know exactly what it is that he is attempting to do, exactly what it is that he is trying to do. And here we are ready for battle. So let's go to work today. Let's tackle another concept with the remaining time that we have today. Philippians chapter 4, I want to read verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, if you have your Bibles, you can meet me there, or if you're using a digital option for your Bible, or even on the screens if you want to follow there. I want you to see this word and read this word for yourselves versus just hearing me recite the word. Philippians 4, beginning at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love that Paul just gets right to the heart of the matter. He said, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. I'm not even going to ask you today if you're anxious or if you're ever anxious, because I already know the answer. Every one of us feel anxiety about something. Oh no, Pastor, I don't ever have anxiety, but I do worry about this. Guess what? They're very closely related, if not the same thing many, many times. Isn't it interesting when you consider all that we worry and stress and are anxious over? Isn't it interesting that the Bible literally says, do not be anxious about anything? No, that verse is not for me. He only meant that for people with money. He only meant that for the young and the single. No, that's not for me. I've got plenty to be anxious over. Some of you will spend the rest of my teaching time today arguing with me mentally about all the reasons that you have to be anxious. Oh, no, he doesn't understand this. And you know, literally making a list, making mental notes, just continuing to put more bricks on the stronghold. But I'm challenging you to get in this word for just a few moments today and let it help all of us. Let me go back to that anatomy lesson. I'm not a doctor. I just play one in the pulpit occasionally. But when you do some anatomy of the brain, there is something called the amygdala. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that exactly right. Again, I'm not a doctor, but the amygdala, it's on the screen for you. But it is this tiny almond-sized, almond-shaped portion of the brain. This is where our survival wires are located. In this part of the brain, keep the picture up for just a moment, please. In that part of the brain is the fight or flight. Fight or flight. That's where that is located. Danger, danger, danger. Amygdala kicks in. Adrenaline begins to flow. See a snake in the grass? Run. Hear an alarm? Panic. That's the amygdala that's telling us to do that. And it's interesting. The mind is fascinating to me because the amygdala responds to pre-programming. Why is that important? Why is pre-programming important? Because it goes back to the cognitive bias that we talked about, how our preferences are set up, and how we have these established strongholds that cause us literally to freak out when things happen and to go into panic mode. It's because that amygdala has been trained to panic or to run and to overreact and to get crazy about certain circumstances. Because here's the problem. The amygdala is a drama queen. It loves to go crazy. It's not objective. It's not logical. It's hardwired to protect and to panic. God gave us the amygdala for protection. That's good. That is good. And we need that, but we also need balance. So I'm asking you today, are you balanced? Are you balanced in your reactions? Are you balanced in your responses? Are you balanced in the way that you react to certain circumstances in your life? Let me give you the balance to the amygdala. That is the prefrontal cortex. The prefrontal cortex. Everybody that's got a brain, you have both of these. You have the amygdala, you have the prefrontal cortex. This is the logical part of the brain. For example, an alarm goes off in the middle of the night. The amygdala says, panic, we're all going to die. The prefrontal cortex says, no, we're not. There's a good explanation for this. There's a reason this alarm is going off. You see, without the prefrontal cortex, we would be running around in panic mode constantly. We'd be running around in freak out mode constantly. So we have to have the logical part of the brain that allows us to see things. That doesn't mean that there are not opportunities and occasions and sometimes with good reason for us to have a heightened awareness and even venture over into panic and freak out and wait a minute, I got to make sure that something is happening. But when you see blood, if all you can do is stand there and scream and scream and scream and scream and keep on screaming rather than getting a cloth or tying a tourniquet, or trying to solve the problem. If logic never kicks in to say, I see blood and it's freaking me out, but I've got to get to the source of this. I've got to see what I can do about this. I was in a restaurant one time, and there was a guy at our table. We had just left a softball tournament, and so we were just having a guy's day and night around a table full of Tex-Mex, and there was probably 12 of us around the table, and so everyone was laughing. Conversation was flying all around the table, and I look over at one of the guys who was seated to my left, and a chip had gotten lodged in his throat. And by the time I saw him, I mean, it was amazing how fast it happened. He was already changing color. You could tell that he had been without oxygen. This whole thing was going on. I've never performed the Heimlich maneuver in my life. I don't even know how to spell it. I don't even know anything about it. But instinctively, it wasn't Abe McDonald saying, "Oh, y'all, look, this is bad. Hey, everybody, hey, you over there, look at this. This is not good. Everybody, look, we need to be freaking out about this. We need to be panicking about this. Hey, somebody call the prayer." There was no time to call the prayer line. There was only time to move and to act. And the logical part of the brain says, even though you've never performed the Heimlich maneuver, you know the basic premise. And so I hugged him from behind and squeezed as hard as I could. And a chip went flying across the table. It hit another guy in the cheek, which was incidentally fantastic. But all of a sudden, he was taking deep breaths again, and he was saying, thank you, you saved my life. And then people in the restaurant are moving, whoa, what's going on? We missed it. We didn't even see that was happening. It was crazy, all in the moment. But we need that prefrontal cortex. Otherwise, we would just live in panic mode constantly. So let's read those verses again. With this understanding, these brain understandings of Abe McDonald and prefrontal cortex, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious, Abe McDonald, about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So if I'm not going to be anxious about anything, what is my option? My option is to pray about everything. I really have two options. I either freak out, or I faith out. I either panic or I pray. I worry or I worship. What am I going to do? And the truth for all of us today is that we tend to downgrade the power of prayer. We say things like, well, all we can do now is pray. I'm telling the truth today, teaching the truth. That means we've tried everything else. We've run here and run there, and we've tried this and we've tried that, and we've pushed on this and we've paid. We've done everything, and we finally get to this last resort mentality and say, well, all we can do now is pray. That's all we can do. Prayer needs to be our first option instead of our last resort. This is a good opportunity to tell you that we pray every Tuesday evening at 6 o'clock right here in the church auditorium. If you can make it, if you can be a part of it, it's always a fantastic and a wonderful time to just be together. But prayer is literally a divine weapon. It's a divine weapon that has explosive power. That's what Paul is saying. He's telling people that the Lord, the Lord's weapons, God's weapons in their life can pull down strongholds, can demolish strongholds. They had no concept for that because war and sieges, they lasted for months and for years in Bible days. They had no explosives. They had no firecrackers that you'll let off this afternoon or tonight and see light and immediately there is fire or there is bang. They didn't have any concept of that. But he's saying when you pray, prayer is a weapon that has explosive power. It's not the last line of defense. It's the first line of offense. I need to use the power of prayer. Hebrews 4 and 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. James 4 and 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. What is it that you need in your life? What is it that you're wanting in your life? What is it that you're needing grace for, mercy in, or help with? We don't have it because we do not ask God for it. But hear me today. Prayer is powerful on two levels. First of all, it moves the heart of God. But secondly, it changes the chemistry in your brain. When you pray, it moves the heart of God. That gets his attention, and now he's wanting to move for us. But prayer also changes the chemistry in our brains. I love what Dr. Carolyn Leaf said in her book titled Switch on Your Brain. She said it has been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain to such an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan. That's how powerful prayer is. And yet you and I say, well, I mean, we used to sing an old song around the church, when you've tried everything and everything has failed, try Jesus. I don't know why they let us sing songs like that. It's false doctrine. When you've tried everything and everything has failed, try Jesus. No, no. You know how much heartbreak and shipwreck is in those few words, when you've tried everything and everything has failed? You know how many divorces are in that? You know how much mess is in if you've tried everything else? Then no. Why not try Jesus and then try everything? Why not try Jesus first? Why not pray first? Why not reach for him first? Does anybody feel like praying in this house today? Because prayer works. It works. It works. It works. Just as toxic, negative thoughts hurt your brain. That's those neural pathways. We talked about them multiple weeks. Every brain has pathways, roadways, trails. Every time you think a thought, it cuts a path in your brain. The thoughts that you think the most, they are deeper pathways, neural pathways. It's easy for your thoughts to fall into those well-worn trails and paths in your brain. So just as toxic and negative thoughts hurt your brain, prayer heals and transforms your brain. I've literally seen people who had mental issues be healed by their diligence and discipline in the Word of God. I know that flies in the face of our Ritalin addicted culture. Our doctors are giving medication so fast, they're solving everything Just, you know, I went to the doctor the other day. Cost me $185 doctor visit. The doctor was in my room for less than 5 minutes. I left there like, wait a minute, I mean, can I get a few more minutes? I don't know, I just want to know you. I just, you know, something. I feel like we need to spend some time together. Feel like I may have forgot to tell you something, you know. But no, it's just how quick can we write you a script? How quick can we get you on another medication? How quickly can we put another pill down your throat to solve your problem? I'm not a doctor. You've got to do what's right for you. But hear me, hear me, hear me, hear me. We need to pray more than we pill. We need to worship more than we do a lot of other things in our lives. So why then do we worry? Maybe you're asking this, why do I worry so much? I don't want to. I don't want to think these thoughts. I don't want to think like this. I don't want to have these deep neural pathways, these trails, these thoughts that are so easy to think, this negativity that is so easy for me to lean toward in my life. Why do we do this? Well, science says that it is an amygdala hijack. The scripture says the mind is dominated by sinful thinking. So what is worry? Worry is distrusting the power and promises of God. That's what worry is. It's a simple working definition. But when I worry, I am distrusting the power and promises of God. So instead of letting my sinful nature control my mind, I need to allow the Spirit to direct my thoughts. That's why this is a war. Because your mind wants to do all of the bad stuff, the sinful stuff, the negative stuff, the worry stuff. And your spirit, Paul said, it's like a war in my members. When I would do good, evil is present. Is anybody hearing the word today? That's why we need to be in this word. Romans 8, 5, and 6 says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set, underline that in your Bible, bold that in your notes. Those who live according to the flesh, that's the sin, that's the way of the world. That's just letting the mind do whatever it wants to do. Letting the body, the passions, whatever, do whatever they want to do. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. That's the only option they see. That's the only way out they see. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. I love this. Verse 6, Romans 8. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Where is your mind set today? Is it spiritual or is it sinful? Is it amygdala or is it prefrontal cortex? Where is your mind set? Paul taught us to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So the prefrontal cortex grabs the amygdala and says, you know what? You are going to live for God, you little panic button, you. You are going to have faith. That's what you're going to do. You're going to respond to the word of God. You're not just going to sit and stew and worry or be overtaken by negativity. You are going to see the possibilities of God in your life. But Pastor Darrell, what about the real worries? What I know some of you are wanting permission to worry about some stuff. We are so addicted to worrying, and I get it. But what about the real worries? I don't want to misunderstand today. Are you saying that we should never be concerned about anything? No, people who are never concerned concern me. We all have worries. It may be our teenager driving. And I've got another one that turned 15 this week. He's ready to get his permit and borrow one of your cars. I'm not ready. Full disclosure, I'm not ready. We all have worries. Maybe it's our future. Maybe it's our health. But David said, you know what? Cast all of your cares on him. Why? Because he cares. Seems irresponsible to never worry, Pastor Darrell. Are we denying real concerns? No. The problem is when those concerns control us. When we live in such fear that faith cannot even peek its head. So how can we calm our anxious mind? I'm going to give you three things. I'm not teaching through each one of these. I'm just going to give them to you quickly. How can we calm our anxious mind? Number one, do what you can do. That's it. That's all. Nothing else. Do what you can do. What are those things? You can pray. You can study. You can budget. Do what you can do. Number two, give God what you can't do. The angel told Peter, put on your shoes. I'm not going to do that for you. I'm going to open these doors for you. I'm going to open the locked doors for you. I'm going to do what you can't do, but I need you to do what you can do. Put on your sandals. I'm going to stay barefoot until the Holy Ghost comes and ties my shoe. You'll be sitting there a long, long, long time. Blaming God. Do what you can do. Give God what you can't do. Because too much of our anxiety comes from trying to control things and people whom we cannot control. Here's the third one. Do what you can do. Give God what you can't do. And number three, trust God no matter what. Trust God. Trust God no matter what. At some point, it's out of my hands. It's no longer my responsibility. Either I trust God and I believe he has my best interest at heart, or I don't, and I keep taking it out of his hands so that I can fidget with it and manipulate it and work on it a little while longer and try to tinker with it and mess with it when I need to just put it into the hands of God and trust him with it. But how many times, if we're honest, do we give something to the Lord? And when it doesn't happen the way we want it to happen, we take it back from the Lord because we're sure he must have forgotten. Lord, if this is the job you want me to have, they're going to call me. They don't call. Well, I think the Lord forgot, so I'm going to call them. No, either I trust God or I don't. Daniel 3, just side note, Daniel 3, 17 and 18. Those three Hebrew boys said, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, even if he doesn't, that's trust. That's trust. So what is the result? What is the result of trusting God with everything? It was in our text today, Philippians 4 and 7. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, it will guard your hearts and your minds. Imagine with me for a moment. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. We're closing. Just imagine with me. You got to get a distraction-free environment. Imagine with your eyes closed right now. Imagine peace in your life. Imagine joy in your life. Imagine peace of mind. It's possible, but it's a choice. We choose peace when we choose to trust. We choose joy when we choose to trust. Do what you can do. Give God what you can't do. And trust God no matter what. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, there's people in this room today that need a miracle. It's not necessarily the financial kind or the physical kind. It's not the disease. It's not the diagnosis. It's not even the relationship so much. It's the miracle of the mind. Getting into a headspace. Titled this teaching today, Brain Trust. Maybe I have my flesh saved, disciplined. I'm not going here, doing this, doing that. Not excessive in any of these things. I'm disciplined there, but it's my mind that needs to get baptized. Needs to be filled with faith because it just runs crazy. Panic, worry, anxiety. And what I want is peace. I want peace of mind today. If you're in this room today and heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if you feel like this is you today, just I need peace in my mind. Just raise your hand where you are. Just acknowledge. Yep. It's in the room. We struggle with it. Saved people, good people, believing people, online people, in-person people. We deal with this. But today, I'm trusting God. Father, I pray today for people. Pray for every hand that raised. Pray for every hand in the living room, in a car, vehicle, in an office. Pray for every person that is dealing with anxiety, stressing, worrying, fretting, struggling, and spiritually suffering. I pray that today, on this 4th of July Sunday, we get free. We're free as people, but we're bound in our minds. We're free to live and do, but we're bound in our faith. Today I speak life. I speak hope. I speak your word over people today. That he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Today is not just happy birthday, America. It's happy birthday, me. It's happy freedom day. It's happy independence day to my mind, so that I can live in your freedom and in your peace. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. Why don't you stand with us today?
I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory.